As you sit, if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. As we consider this passage this morning, we're going to read the whole chapter in its entirety, beginning in verse 1. This is the Word of God. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, and do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun, that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Amen. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this portion of your word. So rich, so full of great truth regarding wisdom, instruction, righteousness. Lord, we pray that you would be with us, be working through your word in our hearts, Lord, that we would hear it, that we would receive it, and that we would act on it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, though it may not seem or feel like it all the time, parenthood is a blessing. Fatherhood is a blessing. Men, as we peel back and sift through all of the challenges and trials in being a father, we still find day in and day out that we can take joy in being a dad. There are days when we smile and thank the Lord for our children because they're being thoughtful, they're being kind, considerate, or going the extra mile to do something well and right. There are also days when we ask ourselves, why don't my kids listen? Why are they being so disrespectful? Why are they hitting each other again? We know the answer is simple, right? They are sinners engaged in disobedience, just like us sometimes. One of the trials of parenthood is that we get tired of dealing with sin in our children. But yet consider this, God calls us to do exactly that. We're called to love, to train, to shepherd our children, even in the midst of their sin. Don't let the daily training of these young sinners cloud your understanding and diminish your joy in being a parent. Children are a blessing from the Lord, and we likewise are to bless them in love and instruction. So Proverbs chapter 4 gives us a window into the joy of fatherhood, the instruction that a father, Solomon, is giving his child. Solomon tells his son that it is critical for him to hear and to listen to the words that he has for him. He says, "Keep my commands and live," in verse 4. As we consider this chapter in Proverbs, we will focus on 3 points. Number one, like Solomon, fathers are to instruct their children. And that, secondly, that instruction must be full of wisdom. And thirdly, children, you also have a piece in this. Children need to be diligent to hear and follow it. So first we see in verse 1 that fathers are to instruct their children. There Solomon said, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." My friends, we are to shepherd the hearts of our children. Shepherding is not a disconnected, sterile imparting of knowledge only. Shepherding involves a strong and nurturing relationship with our children that fosters, encourages, and motivates them to listen and to hear. Note that verse 1 here tells us that Solomon built this type of relationship with his son, as did David with Solomon. Solomon not only desired for him to have knowledge of the subject he would teach, but also a desire first to hear. And this hearing isn't just sound waves that hit the eardrums. It's a hearing that is truly receiving and considering the instruction that's given. Sadly, there are many children who lack love, care, instruction from their fathers, and therefore reap the consequences of that. Some feel lost. Some become misguided. In others, sin flourishes out of control and unchecked. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Children, sometimes instruction and discipline may be frustrating to you, or you just aren't interested. But I pray that God shows you the blessing that it really is, because to be left to yourself would be tragic. So if the instruction of fathers isn't there, doesn't happen, how can it be heard? This is a great tragedy in America and around the world. Thousands of children are fatherless. Thousands more even maybe don't even have another father figure like a grandfather or an uncle or other family member in their life. Many didn't have fathers growing up, and many had fathers maybe that were physically in the home, but were emotionally distant or disconnected from their children and family. And so therefore, their children grew up listening to the instruction of others. Maybe their own siblings, peers, society, gangs, probation officers, prison, etc. Beloved, instruction from fathers to their children comes in various forms, but there's a foundational truth being taught here that we cannot miss. Teaching our children is critically important. We cannot forget or neglect this responsibility. Consider Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, well-known passage, but very applicable here. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up and the training and admonition of the Lord. You know, a truth that we often focus on this passage is the obedience of children in honoring their parents. And that is absolutely right and important. That is what the Scripture teaches. However, sometimes we forget to emphasize the promise of this commandment. Children, though only the Lord knows the number of your days, if you desire God's blessing and the promise of living long on the earth, keep this commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Obey your parents and the Lord. Fathers, we also need to remember that not provoking our children to wrath isn't only about our relationship with them, but it is also a foundational piece of our training them. They need to know and understand that our relationship with them as fathers is also teaching them about their relationship with their Heavenly Father. For He is our Father who does not provoke us to wrath, but is boundless in His mercy, grace, love, and patience. We as fathers need to have compassion towards our children also. Remember Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. You know, one of the joys for Christian fathers is that we train our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is a joy. We are to teach them about the Lord from the Scriptures. We are to teach them about His Word, about His world, about how everything is designed by Him and for Him. I'm not just talking about reading, writing, and arithmetic. I'm talking about all spheres of life. As the Lord commanded Israel in the great Shema in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." Father's life is our classroom in many ways. There is no area in life in which learning shouldn't take place. Whether you recognize it or not, learning is taking place. And so what are your children learning in your home? Consider that. What are your children learning in your home? By God's grace and blessing, our children are the next generation in followers of Christ, defenders of the faith, who, like Solomon, will cherish the instruction of their fathers and their mothers. And they will pass on that wisdom to their children. So let's not get myopic. And let's not only be thinking about our children, but also generations to come, our children's children and their children. What biblical, godly, Christ-centered legacy are they going to carry on? And what biblical, godly, Christ-centered legacy are you providing even now? Solomon goes on. He also talks about in verse 2 that instruction must be full of wisdom. He says, "For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." Fathers, what we teach matters. How we live matters. We need to be very careful and aware of what comes out of our mouths, the expressions on our faces, and how we act and treat our children. Our children will be blessed and encouraged when we teach them well, or discouraged when we don't. Note, Solomon also shows us a father who is also encouraging and comforting his children as to why they should hear and be attentive to his teaching. He instructs them well, and they are receptive to it. The goal and the desire of our instruction is pretty simple here from this text. We want our kids to be wise. We want them to be honoring to God. We want them to be obedient to Him, to serve Him well. We want them, as verse 5 says, to get wisdom, get understanding. So what is this wisdom? What does it look like? Well, being wise involves many things. I'll point out five things here this morning. Being wise involves learning and understanding the difference between false wisdom In other words, being wise in our own eyes and the fear of the Lord. Earlier in Proverbs in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it says there, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." A chapter later in Proverbs 3, verses 7 and 8, says there, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Oh, that our children would fear the Lord, that the Lord would bless them with discernment, that the Lord would grant them great wisdom, that they would stay away from evil. Is that not our hope? Is that not our prayer? Secondly, also, wisdom involves learning and applying our relationship with and knowledge of Christ, as well as knowing how His rule and love for us affects our daily lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Paul there told the church in Corinth, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Again, Romans 5, speaking of God's great love and the work of Christ for us, miserable sinners. Paul told the church in Rome, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." My friends, wisdom shows us how to live a Christ-centered life. Indeed, the gospel changes everything. Christ changes everything. And we want our kids to get that. Thirdly, learning and applying teaching about the straight and narrow path, the right path, is a part of wisdom. And this is what Solomon was talking about in verse 11. Matthew said in his gospel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." But we as followers of Christ are called indeed to walk the narrow way, to go through the narrow gate. Not the way of the world, not the way that would lure and entice and to try and take us from Christ, but indeed the narrow path, the path that He has made, the path that He has called us to. Fourthly, wisdom also involves learning and applying how to run and not stumble. Verse 12. Proverbs 4, 11 and 12 say this, "I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble." You know, sometimes for us as parents, it can be frustrating as we work with our children and as we train our children to try to understand this concept. For we're teaching them things that in some senses are beyond them, right? We know from experience, we know from years, we know from God's grace and blessing, we know even the running part, but sometimes even the stumbling and falling down part too, don't we? But yet God, in His great grace and His great mercy, He gets us back up. He picks us up and He enables us to continue to run. And yet, so we take that insight, we take that wisdom, we take all that the Lord has given us, even this from His Word, and we tell our children, here's wisdom. Here's the right path to follow. If you follow this path, if you go down this way, if you make these decisions, you will find blessing. You will find that you will run and not stumble. Wisdom also involves learning about recognizing and refusing the way of the wicked. And that's really what verses 14 through 17 focus on in this chapter. Consider 14 and 15. "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it and do not travel on it. Turn from it and pass on. You know, we teach our children not to play with fire because we know what happens when you play with fire. You get burned. And here, as good parents, as a wise father, Solomon tells his son, do not enter that path. And in fact, I'm not just going to tell you don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't walk in it either. And even more so, avoid it. Go away from it. Pass on. Don't even entertain the thought of it. Move away. Keep your eyes on Christ and follow Him. Matthew Henry, a well-known commentator, said this about getting wisdom and getting understanding in this passage. He said, get wisdom by experience. Get it above all of your getting. Be more in care and take more pains to get this than to get all the wealth of this world. You know, sometimes when we may think about what we want our children to have and to possess, the qualities, the knowledge, let's make sure that wisdom and godly wisdom is a top priority. They need to get that. And so in verses 3 through 27, really the rest of this chapter in Proverbs, Solomon describes responsibilities even that children need to be a part of in listening and following, being diligent to do that. So children, how do you get wisdom? I'm talking about some big words today, but how do you get wisdom? If that's the command, what do you do? Well, first, as with anything, you pray. You pray. Ask God to help you, because really, wisdom is from the Lord. It's a gift. And so you need to pray and ask God to help you, to grant it to you, to grow you in it. But secondly, as we considered earlier, you need to fear the Lord. Because what does the scripture say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Also, I would encourage you, understand that your earthly Father is one who loves you, prays for you, and should be pointing you to your heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, one who teaches you what it means to walk in obedience to God. Don't consider that and just blow it off as, oh, this is boring. Oh, I want to go play video games with my friends. I don't know. I don't have time to listen to you right now, Dad. Listen to what He has to say as He's imparting this knowledge and experience to you. Seek to grasp it as you grow. As you learn to read, indeed, along with the other many books that you read as a child, which are all good and wonderful, read the Bible, read the scriptures, learn more about Him, and dive into the depths of the Word. Also, you need to listen to and remember your parents' words and commands. Obedience is important, vitally important. So you need to seek to do that. And two more things for you, children. I know it's a lot, right? Do not turn from wisdom, as verse 6 says. Do not forsake her, meaning wisdom. Literally trust and commit to walking and following the wise way. Don't neglect wisdom either. As Solomon said, wisdom is the principal thing, meaning wisdom is of great importance. Don't neglect it. And finally, walk faithfully in it, children. Well, in conclusion, I'll leave you with a couple of thoughts. Fathers, the only way that you will be successful in teaching your children wisdom is if you are well acquainted with it yourself. You can't tell them to get it if you're acting the fool. We can't tell them to get it if we lack understanding. We need to evaluate our own hearts. We need to examine. We need to confess. We need to repent of those areas where we have fallen short in our own relationship with God, in our own seeking and pursuing wisdom, and ask God to help us to get that and then to teach our children about it. Children, pray for your fathers. They are a gift from God to you to help guide you, to help grow you in grace. But also get the bigger picture. Your parents are here to point you to Jesus, to teach you about Him, to show you what living a life in relationship with Him looks like, to teach you to stand on His Word, to teach you about His kingdom, to teach you about the pitfalls in this world and the things that you need to watch out for and to stay away from, even like Solomon said. Don't expect perfection from your parents, because you won't find it. but rather learn to be patient, to be kind, to be loving, to honor, and to obey them. Amen. May God grant us all grace, indeed, to be wise and to walk wisely and faithfully before Him. Amen. Let us pray.